So we have been studying Psalm 18 in regards to God's righteousness. This is a series of psalms we will be going through and are going through. Psalm 18 is rather longer for the time allotted, so it has been split up. This is the sixth part, and next week will be the last. This week we'll be going through verses 37 through 45. As it is in our Psalter, and that's basically how I've decided to break it up, so that we can teach and have right understanding as we sing our psalms. So like I said, next week we'll have conclusion to these 50 verses, and we'll also look back to see just how righteous our God is, and how we can be joyful that we have a God that displays His glory in so many aspects of our lives. This week's nine verses, they show us the power of our God and the power of His protection in His righteousness. Now, these group of verses is not only a teaching of a past victory in just David's life, but it is also one that can show us the victories that we can have in our own lives. We, as Reformed Christians, can achieve victories every day in our lives because we have the God of truth that we worship. We worship and serve the God that makes all the rules. It is through those rules that we can learn how to lead our own lives and also those under our authority. When we learn these rules, when we live them and apply them, and when we teach them, we begin to achieve more and more victories in our life as we go on, day by day. We achieve the victories and we squash the failures. We put to death our sins. As we have more and more victories, as we put away the sinful man and become renewed, we have our minds renewed. Victories in our life are our lot as we take dominion of our lives and of our property for the glory of God. Those that stand against us will have no chance and will either choose to join us or return to dust. As Reformed Christians, this is what we do. This is our claim in life. We take dominion in the world. We improve and enlarge whatever we have authority and ownership over. And we will be victorious by the providence and sovereignty of our mighty God. Soli Deo Gloria. If you'll follow along, I'm going to be going through verses 37 through 45 as it reads in the New King James Version. Again, Psalm 18. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they cannot rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. Going back to verse 37 as it reads in our Psalter, as we sing it in praise. I chased and overtook my foes. I stopped not till they were consumed. So here, David had a mission. He pursued his foes. He chased them. He ran them down, and they were overtaken and consumed. We should note that he ran them down until they were completely destroyed. He didn't take a break. He didn't ease up. He didn't turn back. But instead, he plowed through them like a freight train that was going full speed with God as the conductor. The same as David did with his foes, we too should do to our sin when God is with us. Sins and sorrows flee, and all forms of evil are consumed before the power of grace. This is a preservation of the saints. This is our duty and our lot. We should crush our sin as David crushed his foes beneath his feet. Verse 38. I crushed them beneath my feet. They fell and could not rise again. So God gave David strength and courage to follow through, wounding and crushing his adversaries. It is only through the power of God and the supplying David his strength that he was able to do so. This is a combination of God's righteousness being displayed in his protection of his devout saint. God, in his perfect righteousness, will always supply us with the tools that we need to do that which is glorifying to him. God, as we know, as we are created in his image, has already supplied us with logic and reason. And so we might fight those battles of wits. And when he arms us with that physical strength, we will be able to fight those battles as well. This that he has armed us with, that which he will arm us with, is what we need to fight the long battles of the day. Whether it is on the battlefield, at our jobs, or wherever we may need the strength and endurance to persevere and be victorious for the honor and glory of our God. No matter where we are, though, we will be armed and we will never be left unaided. Verse 39, you armed me with strength for the fight, subdued foes that rose against me. So David knows where he gets his strength. And in this verse, he is telling us where that strength comes from. It is sourced from the Almighty. And to the Almighty, praise is due. If not for God's hand in our day's work, our tasks, our missions, that work would not get completed. All is due to God's providence and sovereignty, and we should pay heed to this fact. We should be joyful in his guidance and his mercy, as it is his righteousness that he displays in this system that he has created for us. How wonderful is it that we have a God that is always true to us. He is always consistent in his ways, his actions, his thoughts. We should be forever grateful that he is not like the gods that man conjures up in his own minds, the fake gods that people create in their own image. They are vile. They're subject to human emotions. They're inconsistent and a blasphemous curse compared to the true God of Scripture. Through him, through our God, and through his power, we subdue the earth and we subdue our foes as we are given their necks. Verse 40. You gave me to the necks of my foes, that I might kill those hating me. So as it said, God gave David the necks of his foes. Let that just sink in for a second. The neck is one of the most vulnerable places of a man. Crush the throat, and you cannot breathe. Put them in a headlock, and they will soon lose blood and lose consciousness. Sever the spine, and they cannot move, and may even lose other functions of their body, such as the ability to breathe. God did not just give David his enemy's arms or legs or any other part that would not be as critical to his enemy's survival, but instead he gives them their necks. His decree is made by doing so. These heathens are God's enemies, and their sentence is death. So what do we do? I'm sorry, so what do they do? Verse 41, they cried for help, but none could save. The Lord gave no answer to them. So these men, they cry for help, but do not worship the true God. Instead, they only wish for him to save them. We know as Christians how powerful prayer is. Prayer is so notable a weapon that even the wicked turn to it when they're in times of desperation. But God's rule and righteousness is here displayed. These men are guilty and deserving of just punishment. And so, they get what they deserve. They receive no answer from God. And that is the one that they hate the most. And so they were destroyed. Verse 42. I beat them fine as windblown dust. I dumped them out into the street. So these men are the enemies of God. And so their lot is their utter destruction. They are beat fine as dust, as there will be no putting them back together. Their case cannot be recovered, and they were dumped out into the street to be mixed with all the other dirt and all the other dust, so that they are never to be found again. Also, being cast into the streets conveys a notion of contempt and dishonor to them, being tossed out with the trash, being trampled underfoot. So yes, there they will be trampled upon and never thought of again. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 43. Then I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I trod them like dirt in the streets, and I spread them out. So what does David say? Verse 43. You saved me from their evil plans and made me head of heathen lands. A people whom I did not know will give their service unto me. The following verse that I just read, 2 Samuel 22, verse 44, states, You have also delivered me from the strivings of my people. You have kept me as the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. So these people are among the people of Israel, and are most likely Saul and his men, or they could be certain tribes of Israel. As we have read in the Psalms, we know that Saul and his men sought to end David's life as often as they could. The tribes themselves, they just failed to acknowledge David's crown as king, and only later came to anoint him in Hebron. So David here is very much a Christ. As Christ had his own contentions with the scribes and the Pharisees, and also even his own people. So this Christ here endured until he was delivered from them all by his resurrection and coming to glory. The heathens could mean many different groups of the Philistines going back to them. They could mean the Philistines, the Syrians, the Moabites, or the Edomites. And that is discussed in 2 Samuel chapter 8, which I will not be going into. But whichever people they became subdued to David's rule and authority, just as Christ had chosen to become the head of the Gentiles, or would be made head of the Gentiles. Christ became the political head, the king and governor of them all. And that is through his resurrection. Later in the same way, Christ would come to be served by the heathens who once did not know him. These people who once did not know Christ will come to know him as they are a gift of the Father to him. And they are in the covenant of grace, those who come to believe. These people being purchased by Christ's blood, these people who become a sheep that he knows are called by their name by him, and they obey. Verse 44. And as soon as they hear me speak, these strangers will obey my voice. So as those purchased by Christ listen to his voice, before that they listen to David's. They listen and obey. David, once a king without a crown, a king without authority, now has the ear of those who once did not know him. They now know who is in charge. They have seen what happens to David's enemies and have become convinced that there is no reason to oppose him. As we increase our own dominion in life, as we amass wisdom and honor in this world according to God's laws and precepts, we too will have men listen to us. They will not do so out of fear or because we deserve it from anything of our own doing, but because we have glorified God. We will have developed influence of men, and it is our duty to influence them in God's truth and instruct them in the gospel. Verse 45. The strangers will fade quite away, and in their hiding be afraid. So those strangers, those who oppose the gospel, will fade away. Those who are hypocrites, liars, deceivers, and haters of God's law will fade away like the leaves of an autumn tree. They will fall away, and when they fall away, they will perish. Their fortresses and towers, their caves and hiding places, which they once thought to be places that where they were safe, they will not feel safe anymore. That is because they have so much fear and dread now, and so they are forced out of them. Micah chapter 7, verse 17. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall crawl from their holes like snakes of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of you. So they will not even be able to find joy as they slither out of their hiding places, as they come out into the open. They think that they have a bad thing here, not feeling safe, but in reality, they're not safe anywhere. They're fooling themselves. This is the same as the strangers to Christ. Those strangers do not have a lasting happiness. Those who are strangers to Christ will soon fade as they refuse to be watered from the river of life. While they fade away, we are renewed by that river of life. We are invigorated to glorify God and fight his fight. We are renewed in our minds to put to death which is falsehood and to embrace truth. Through this, we increase our dominion and spread that which brings true joy and lasting happiness. We become examples to the world of the righteousness of God, and those examples being his mercy and his promises being fulfilled. So let us continue spreading that light, being confident in our steps, as our God is a true God who is deserving of all the glory. Soli Deo Gloria.